from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working with students and families to improve college access and student success for a better West Virginia. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
Good evening. I'm Andrea Lanham, and this is the Legislature Today from the Capitol Building in Charleston. While Governor Jim Justice may have thought a press conference he held yesterday before whisking off to coach his Greenbrier East girls basketball team would appease teachers and school personnel, the work stoppage looks far from over, and the issues are far from being resolved. Capitol Security reports a crowd of 3,000 today, a day that was supposed to be a cooling off period, according to Justice. The governor has revised revenue estimates for next year. We'll be joined by the Senate Finance Chairman in just a few minutes, but first let's listen to what some of the teachers had to say this morning.
I am Jamie Hefner. I am a special education teacher at Braxton County High School. This is my sixth day here at the Capitol. I want to let the governor, legislators know that the deal he proposed yesterday, actually the deal he said we were getting yesterday, doesn't sit well with me. I came here for a purpose, and that purpose was to get PEIA fixed. And yesterday, the 5% raise, okay, but they said nothing about PEIA being funded. And that's why I'm fighting so hard, is because I want PEIA funded.
My name is Lucinda Burns. I'm a Kanawha County School employee with Point Harmony Elementary located in Cross Lane. I hope my students learn that there is a proper way to stand up for what you believe in. I hope my students are able to learn that this is not about one thing, that it's about multiple things, and I hope that in the future, when they are faced with difficulties, that they handle them in a civilized way as we are trying to handle this. When I go back to my classroom, we will discuss what we've done here, and we will discuss moving forward with our education.
Joining us now is Senator Craig Blair, Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. Senator, thank you so much for joining us on such a hectic day.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
Well, it was pretty clear talking to so many lawmakers last night and this morning that everyone was caught off guard with what the governor said last night. He's found more than $50 million, he said. He mentioned anticipated economic growth, such as the road bond referendum passed last year and the federal tax cuts that just passed. There's policy and then there's the politics behind this. So we'd like you to talk about both. But first, it's a little surprising that no one in the Republican Party, leadership or otherwise, seemed to know what was coming last night.
Well, that's not uncommon, apparently, with the governor. He goes out and, talks to people and hears what's going on, then he changes on a dime. Sometimes that can be a good thing, sometimes that can be bad. In the legislative process, though, here we are, what's today, day 11 or 12 that's left of, actually we've got 10 days left because this is a crossover day. And with that said, making changes like this late in the game, is dangerous. It's dangerous in the legislative process as well. Now, the House is considering that 5% pay raise right now. But on the Senate side, we're going to be more deliberative about what we do with that. First of all, we're hearing from the teachers a lot that they're more concerned about the PEIA. And we are as well. Even though the PEIA is a great health care plan, and compared to the private sector, we're getting more bang for the buck. There are efficiencies that can be had in that, and we're looking at taken instead, since the governor's increased the revenue estimates, I think it was $57 million, it actually makes getting the budget out a little bit easier from that standpoint. But if we dedicated that money towards the PIA, and PIA, let's keep in mind that it is fully funded here for the next 17 months, but we also realize that there's changes that need to be made. I actually made a comment on the floor of yesterday, and it was the Senator Beach from Monongalia County had came to me and had showed me where the Department of Defense is working on a card. And almost all of us are aware of when we went to the doctor and they do a blood test or an x-ray or something like that, then you get sent to the next doctor and they do that same duplication. Well, the gentleman that was from Marion County that is working with the Department of Defense on this, actually ran the numbers, and we could save $44 million a year on PIA alone by eliminating the duplicate test that is out there. That is tremendous. These are the type of ideas that we need to come forward in the state, and that one doesn't take legislation. I promised him, I said, 2 days after the session's over, we're going to be down in the governor's office, we're going to meet with Ted Cheatham, we're going to see whether we can't move forward with this, and we think that it can come to the cost of zero cost to the state, $1 million at least, and I'll spend $1 million to save 44 in a heartbeat. On that. So that's just one example of where we could go on this, but we're going to use a deliberative approach on what we're going to do with this and how we're going to handle it. And we're also going to be gauging the teachers' reactions on when the House passes out that 5% and whether so far what we're seeing is that they're still in this building from the announcement last night till today. They're still saying, no, this is not acceptable. And PIA is a great concern to them, and as it is to us as well. We want it fixed, and I'm one of the guys, the reason I was elected is because of workers' comp. And I realized that was a $4 billion nightmare. We are close to paying off that debt, and now businesses are spending less, and it's coming back in the form of payroll, which is beneficial. And we have to keep this in mind. We're trying to grow the tax base in the state of West Virginia. That's the most important thing that we can do, because coming back every year fighting over a shrinking portion of the fiscal pie doesn't work. We need to get ourselves into a position to where we can pay all state employees of what they deserve. Where nobody's in an argument about that. We believe that they deserve more, but we also believe that the average person in West Virginia should make more money. And that's where you have competition on the workforce. See, I'm from the Eastern Panhandle, and you don't work at convenience stores there for minimum wage. There's a lot of demand on the workforce, not just within the state of West Virginia. We have people that travel outside the state of West Virginia.
Now, I do understand that you talked with the governor's chief of staff today. Did he give you any direction of where to go with these pay raise bills?
Well, no, it doesn't work that way. What our discussion mainly was around was what was being done with the budget and the improvements in handling that. Keep in mind that we're at this point in the session right now where the budget's our number one priority. I'm the new finance chair, but I've set goals for the committee, and the goals have been to run it as efficient a process as possible. We've done a very good job of that. I think we've only got one bill on our agenda tomorrow because we've taken care of them. We don't hold back. We manage the bills, but we're also been working behind the scenes on this budget. Now, with these new revenue estimates coming in, that's changing things on how we're working with the budget, and then we've got to look and see what path that we're going to be traveling here, whether it's going to be a 5% pay raise, whether we take these additional revenues and take and put those in towards the PIA. I actually believe that most of the teachers out here, sure, they'd like to have a pay raise, but what they really like to have is that they want to know that their insurance is going to be stable and predictable into the future. I have been a little bit annoyed by the fact that, you know, for 5 years, I believe it was, from 2012 forward, that what they spent down the fund. The reserve fund for PIA. We want to get away from that as well. And there's several bills out here right now that put money towards PIA, whether it's the sports betting one or the surplus. We've been looking at all the different angles on being able to manage PIA. But we also need to keep in mind that there's a systemic problem with PIA. And when I say systemic, when we have the PIA based on income, instead of based on risk and not offering multiple plans and things like that, we've got to take a hard look at that. And that's not something that it's hard to do that in a 60-day session when we have thousands of bills that are floating around out here and we're trying to manage, and everybody has things that are important to them.
Will you look at a dedicated revenue stream, and what might that look like?
Well, to see if you have a dedicated revenue stream, just like what we're talking about here, this additional $57 million or any derivative of that, that goes towards the funding of the PEIA, and that keeps the cost down. And if we can do it in such a way that you don't have that 80-20 match that you put it in behind, so then that goes into the reserve fund for them, then we're in pretty good shape from that standpoint. That's a big deal for PIA, but we're not going to stop there. We want to look at all those options, just like I explained, to where we could possibly save $44 million. There's lots of things that we can do out here to actually have a better product in the long run. And one of the things, and I'm speaking personally from myself now, there ought to be a gold, silver, and bronze plan. And you know, when you're younger, you have less of a demand for health care, so to speak. So you want to have those resources in your pocket so that you can build your life. I did that personally whenever I was much younger. But as you get older, you want to have more robust health care because you have greater demand, greater need for that. But we may be able to explore avenues for that direction, so it's not one size fits all. And these are things that can be done in conjunction with the teachers, the school service personnel, the state employees, and
lots of good options with that. But what about this task force that the governor has proposed? What is that going to look like, and do you think the teachers are going to support that?
Well, I would hope the teachers would support that. In fact, I don't know. I'm not versed enough to know what to say on that, except for as we move through, that task force won't take place, so to speak, during this legislative session. What will happen is afterwards we'll be getting things together. Maybe they're talking about a piece of legislation for that, but I find that, just to be redundant, we can actually go out here and get that work done together.
And I should say that that's the Senate bill, just for people listening in,
yes,
saying that it's coming into session. Now, there has been some questions about where these revenue estimates have come from, because some have said that it appears to come from thin air.
Well, you could say that. When I had conversations with the chief of staff down in the governor's office today, they basically said that it was on 5% growth and national growth. I have a little bit of concern about that, because everybody knows that in West Virginia, we are slow to recover, but then we're also slow to go into a recession. Part of that is because we have such a significant cash economy too. And we have to keep in mind that I've stressed this over and over, and when I speak about it, we have less than 50% workforce participation in the state of West Virginia. We have been laser beam focused on being able to create or give the opportunities for job creation, to locate here or current businesses to expand and prosper. When that happens, you put a greater demand on the workforce, you take it off of the Medicaid and all the entitlements out there, and by bringing these folks into the workforce, they become taxpayers. And when they become taxpayers, then that gives us greater resources into the future to be able to work with being able to provide better benefits. And we've done that right here in the Senate. The legislature makes up 0.6% of the general revenue budget. 0.6. And I would say about 2.2 of that is the Senate itself. And since we've taken over, we have spent about $1.5 million less each year with less employees, doing more work and being more productive. We are running more bills and making more changes to West Virginia than what was occurring before. But we've cut expenses. There's not as much travel that goes out there. And I do not want a receptionist. When I was chairman of GovOrg, I used an intern for that. They learned real world experience by doing the job when they were here, and they were just as good as anybody else that was out there, and so they were able to take that away. We're saving that money. Then we went out and offered up pay raises, and only one person didn't like their pay raise, and they chose to go somewhere else.
So moving forward into the next week, what do you see as the biggest challenges of addressing these issues facing teachers?
Well, to finding out where the teachers are actually at, that's been the most difficult aspect of it. It's my understanding that last night out on the Capitol steps that the union leaders were booed because they announced that there was a 5% pay raise. I've noticed that there's been a lot of misinformation, and that happens in this building, especially at this time of year, is the misinformation that's out there. This is another reason why we believe that in the Senate that taking this funding, additional funding, if it's there, and applying it to PEIA is the correct path to go. And being able to look on making sure that we've got an insurance program that works for the people of West Virginia, into the future, making it so that it's efficient about what it does, so that we know that we're getting the best bang for the buck for not just the user, but for the taxpayer who is actually providing the resources for this.
Well, thank you so much for your perspective and sharing all your knowledge about this. Again, we have Senator Craig Blair, who's chair of the Senate Finance Committee, joining us tonight.
I hope I was helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's listen to what other teachers had to say today at the Capitol.
Pay, while it's a great concern, particularly for future educators, the real issue that brought us to the table with such force was PEIA and the downright immoral proposals that were made to penalize people for working or having spouses who worked. That was the thing that most angered me, although the pay was certainly an issue, if they're able to get this 5% approved, I think it's certainly a step in the right direction. It doesn't address the real issue that caused teachers to come out in such force. There are a lot of concerns all over the state of West Virginia. There's stories, hundreds of stories, thousands of stories. Everyone has a story. And that story rings clear of discontentment. And that needs to be addressed by this legislature and by our union leaders. And I don't feel that they've done an adequate job of that. It's early. I'm waiting to hear more information from them, but I'm very skeptical.
The deal, in my opinion, needed to be a cool down period before we agreed to a deal. The deal also should have been brought to the people, the members of the association, before they made a decision. I felt like that we needed a voice in that. I don't like to do anything until the ink is dry. There is no ink, so this is not a good deal in that respect. I'm okay with the raise, but this is not about a raise. It was always about PEIA, and we do need a raise. I'm not saying we don't need a raise. We do definitely need a raise, and a 5% raise is a step in the right direction. Certainly isn't everything that we need, but I understand we can't have everything all at one time. But we do need to fix PEIA, and there is no ink on the paper. I think the leaders just jumped the gun and got nervous and got pressured into agreeing to a bill without discussing it with us. The leadership has been great. I have no problems with the leadership, but we do need to have better communication, and we needed to be able to have a voice in that decision-making process.
It seems as though the House and the Senate weren't prepared for this, and they don't even have the information right now that they need to pass it. So I'm concerned that it's a lot of promises, and we really just need to see some kind of action or movement to be convinced that there's going to be any benefit that comes to any of the public service employees. I want to trust my union leaders. I think they have to have some type of plan at the moment, and I think right now if we don't try to let the legislation do something, then we look kind of greedy, and we need to listen to our union leaders, give legislation an opportunity, and we can walk out again. It was made very clear yesterday, I think, that we would walk out again if there wasn't movement and if it was just false promises.
Joining us now is senior reporter Dave Message. Dave, once again, another chaotic day. What's the latest?
Absolutely. I feel like today might be even more chaotic than yesterday. I feel like we've all been running in circles all day from one thing happening to the next, to things that we thought were happening that weren't happening, to things that we thought were happening that were happening in another place, chasing around all the key players. It's just been a really interesting day. I should start by saying that the governor just a few moments ago released an open letter to all state employees. In it, he calls for he speaks about the moratorium on the PEIA fix. It'll be 16 months. He says that finding a solution to this problem needs to be accomplished in a much, much shorter period of time. So despite the fact that we've got that freeze in 16 months, he's looking for this task force to get moving. And again, he did issue the executive order creating that task force. He says, and I'm quoting here, "A cure won't come in 30 minutes, but I can promise you this task force will begin its work immediately." So we'd heard that from the announcement last night. So that's where the latest as of right now. So.
And Governor Justice has also taken a beating here recently. He had even said that last night in the press conference, and he had even issued a press release earlier today saying that he wasn't resigning.
Right. I mean, there was a rumor floating about the Capitol, apparently, and the governor addressed that via tweet and then also released a statement saying that he is not resigning. And again, yeah, it's very clear that a lot of people are very dissatisfied with him. We met with Chief of Staff Mike Hall. He mentioned that the governor is not here at the Capitol today. So again, another day of a big day here at the Capitol, and the governor is again not here. So.
And earlier today, as I understand, you talked to Delegate Mick Bates. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
But today was a cooling down period.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's cooling down to me. So, I'm concerned. I went from optimism to maybe we move closer to some resolution last night to this morning, thinking that we've thrown more fuel on this fire. I talked to the chairman this morning about where are we at, and he knows as little as I do in terms of what's got nothing to discuss with him. So all we're hearing is what's been reported in the media based upon the press conference, that they've found some money. And that's gone into the revenue estimate, which has been raised. They're going to use that money, I think, in combination with some other elements that were in the governor's budget to be able to fund this this pay increase. So, and it's been met with, at best. I'm not hearing anyone that's like, this is great. This is, where victory has not been declared.
And I know he was talking about a bill that is now originating in House Finance
Committee. Well, actually, it's not originating. It was a bill that was introduced at the beginning of session. It's Senate Bill 267 was the pay increase bill that was passed by both the House and Senate and signed by the governor. 4145 is the House version of that same bill. So the House Finance Committee today, being crossover day, being the last day to get bills out of the House of Origin, they took up this bill. It had been sitting in there the whole time over the course of the session. And they actually amended it.
Teachers, and once again, that's the bell tolling for the Senate, but
right.
We'll definitely go on.
Right. So the House Finance Committee amended that bill, calls for a 5% increase for teachers, service personnel, as well as state police. They dealt with the whole revenue adjustments, had a big conversation about that. The bill actually did pass the committee. It now heads to the floor. It's expected to be taken up on the House floor this evening and passed through the chamber and headed over the Senate in time for the end of crossover day. So that bill is sort of a key moment as far as the pay raises go. The PEIA task force is established, but yet again, we've heard all day from a lot of teachers that there's a lot of discontent out there over this so-called deal that was brokered between the leaders of the unions and the governor's office. And of course, we heard last night some apprehension from the Senate President Carmichael over in the House. It's a different story, of course. So we'll see where this goes.
Now, we only have about a minute left. What's your gut feeling going forward? Do you think that teachers are going to be out tomorrow as well?
I've actually looked a little bit. There are a few schools that have been closed. Right now, I've got, according to the State Department of Education's school closing Twitter account, the West Virginia Snow Day, all schools in Mingo County are closed on Thursday. Work County is on a two-hour delay as of right now, and Gilmer County is closed the whole day as well. So we've heard a lot about votes by local leaders of these unions to decide. So I think we're going to be here late into the night figuring out who's going to go to school or who's supposed to be in school tomorrow and who's not, And I bet based on what we've seen at the Capitol, who actually shows up is a whole other question altogether. So,
right. And these are definitely all issues that we'll continue to follow as the day progresses.
Absolutely.
Again, joining us was senior reporter Dave Mistich.
Thanks.
That's all the time we have this evening for the legislature today. Join us back here at the Capitol tomorrow evening at 6 as we continue to follow the 2018 legislative session. I'm Andrea Lanham for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for joining us and have a great evening.